WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. You see, I had to change up the tone for today's show. I don't know what is going on, but my voice is slowly leaving me. All right, so bear with me throughout these next 60 minutes. So glad you've tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your horse host, Al Martin, and we've got a great show in store for all of you out there. I am it was a really late night for me because it was a late game for the Michigan State women's basketball team. What a game it was for Susie Merchant and her troops. There was one name that stood tall above the rest on Ohio State side and Michigan State side, that being senior guard Tori Jankowska. She put on a complete show, one of the best individual performances I've ever seen in person. She had 31 points at halftime. She finished with a mind-blowing 42 points. She broke four records last night, including becoming the program's all-time leading scorer. Ariel Powers donned that honor before Tori scored at least eight last night, or I should say at least seven last night. So got a chance to chat with Susie Merchant and Tori Jankowska about Jankowska's redonkulous performance. You do not want to miss our coverage from that. We will also talk about a certain University of Michigan football star who really tore it up on the gridiron this year. The Big Ten's Defensive Player of the Year, Jabril Peppers, is leaving college ball and taking his talents to the National Football League. Is it the right move? We'll chat about that. We will also invite our dear friend, who we haven't had in quite some time here on our airwaves, Mike Ingram, to Current Sports. He is the head coach of the Lansing Community College men's basketball team, who will soon be a National Junior College Athletic Association Hall of Famer. How about that? He just received the news, and he's quite emotional, to say the least, all right? So you don't want to miss that and so much more on the show. We will also provide a preview of tonight's Michigan State and Minnesota rematch at the Breslin Center, and you can find out how you can win tickets to that game in just a moment. So, jam-packed show from wall to wall. Let's get right to it by first bringing you your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, we start with, of course, Tori Jankowska, who scored 42 points for the Michigan women's basketball team last night, breaking Michigan State's single game and all-time scoring record in a 94-75 win over number 11 Ohio State last night. The 5'8" senior guard started the night 6 points away from Ariel Powers' scoring record of 1,817 points and needed just a few minutes to surpass her with 2 3-pointers and a layup. The Spartans currently sit at 13-4 overall, 3-1 in the Big Ten. They led the Ohio State Buckeyes, who are 14-5, 4-1 in the conference, the entire game, going ahead by as much as 20 points. They now hit the road to play Rutgers this Saturday. We'll have more on the mind-blowing performance from Tori Jankowska in just minutes. Don't go anywhere. Looking to bounce back from its first Big Ten loss at the hands of Penn State this past weekend, the Michigan State men's basketball team welcomes Minnesota to the Breslin tonight for a 7 p.m. tip time. The Spartans beat the Golden Gophers at the Barn by 1 point to begin Big Ten play, if you remember, in late December. Last time these teams squared off, Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nearin Jr., Alvin Ellis III, and Nick Ward engineered a miraculous second-half comeback. Stay tuned to find out how you can win tickets to tonight's game. That's right. Let's see who our lucky winner will be. The University of Michigan men's basketball team sits at 11-5, 1-2 in the Big Ten, and will travel to Champaign, Illinois for a matchup with Illinois, which sits at 11-5 overall, 1-2 in the Big Ten Conference. Today at the State Farm Center, in the first of two meetings in a 10-day span, tip-off is scheduled for 8:06 p.m. tonight. Illinois is coming off a 96-80 loss at Indiana. Jalen Coleman lands and Malcolm Hill scored 21 points apiece while Maverick Morgan chipped in with 18. Michigan, coming off a loss to Maryland on Saturday, leads the country in fewest turnovers per game at 9.10. Do it all, Michigan football star Jabril Peppers has made his decision. Next, whichever NFL team picks up the versatile defender must decide where exactly to put him. Peppers, a junior, announced his intentions to declare for the NFL draft on Tuesday, initially revealed his plan to Sports Illustrated. He is projected as a top 10 pick and rated as ESPN's NFL draft analyst Mel Kiper Jr.'s number one safety in this year's draft. Peppers missed Michigan's season-ending loss to Florida State in the Capital One Orange Bowl because of a hammy injury suffered the day before the game in practice. Big news here. The famed Gus Macker 3-on-3 basketball tourney is coming to Meridian Mall. How cool is that? Local high school ADs, the Meridian Mall, Lansing Sports Authority, and Horizon Bank have all partnered to make this thing happen. There will be a formal press conference on Tuesday to provide additional details. Current Sports will be there to cover the news. Isaac, hey, man, we need a third. I think we could enter that tournament. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So putting out applications right now. Any listeners want to get in?
I haven't played the Gus in a long, long time, but hearing this news makes me just want to at least try it. We'll see. We'll talk. All right, the Detroit Pistons lost to the Sacramento Kings last night, 100-94. DeMarcus Cousins had 24 points, 13 boards, 6 assists to help the Kings stage a dramatic fourth quarter comeback. The Pistons led by as many as 18 points and were up 9 entering the fourth when they were outscored 32-17. The victory snapped a 3-game losing streak for the Kings, who had lost 5 of 6 since winning a season-high 4 straight. The Pistons now travel to Golden State. Yes, for tomorrow's game against the team with the NBA's best record. Oh, boy, that's going to be a fun game. All right, the New York Knicks and point guard Derrick Rose. Rose, of course, made headlines this week because he went AWOL before the team's matchup against the New Orleans Pelicans yesterday. Well, Derrick Rose said he left the team before Monday's game against New Orleans due to a family issue involving his mother. Quote, "It had nothing to do with the team or basketball. That's the first time I ever felt like that emotionally, and I had to be with my family." Rose made that statement after returning to the Knicks on Tuesday. Rose said he left the club without permission shortly after the morning shoot-around on Monday. He flew to Chicago, his hometown. He flew back to New York on Tuesday morning and returned to practice. He apologized to team president, the great one, Phil Jackson, and general manager Steve Mills and his teammates. He has since been fined. And last but certainly not least, the Detroit Red Wings lost in overtime to the Chicago Blackhawks, 4-3, the final of that one. Duncan Keith scored in a power play 38 seconds into overtime to lift the Shy to the win. Andreas Anthonisiou, Thomas Tatar, and Luke Glendening, score for Detroit. 17-18-6 is what Detroit's record sits at right now. And the Wings have lost back-to-back games in 4 of their past 5. Peter Mrazek at 39 saves. The Red Wings will hit the road to take on the Dallas Stars tomorrow. Now, not a great outing for the Detroit Red Wings. Later on this hour, we'll try to pinpoint why in the world the Detroit Red Wings are struggling so much this year. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. Without further ado, let's start the show.
Regulators. We regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. Gotta be handy with the steel, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up!
Like I should have bought a ticket to the game. I didn't do a whole lot of coaching watching her out there, you know. I mean, I've seen, you know, Ariel's had some games where, you know, she's had 22 or 20 plus in the first half, but I looked up there and she had 31. I was like, unbelievable. And I wasn't worried about it because Tori's a tough kid, but I was hoping that she would get to that 7 sooner rather than later. And I swear I looked down and she started the game with 8 points. It was like that, and she had broken the record. So what a way to do it, you know, in front of a really good crowd on TV and here at home. So it was just it was a special moment for sure.
And the biggest and the most important thing is that we won, you know, because those records and, you know, you're going to go home with a bad taste in your mouth, and it's really not going to be that exciting if you go home with a loss. And this was big for our team, big for the Big Ten championship run. We got to protect our home court. Everybody stepped up and did what they needed to do, and it was one of the funnest games I've ever been a part of, and not even just because I was breaking records, because it was Jenna was getting defensive rebounds. Brandy was maniac at the top of the zone. Brandy was hitting shots. Everybody was hitting shots. Everybody was doing their job, and it was just really nice to finally see that.
Tori, you're so competitive. I'm curious. Have you talked to Ariel Powers at all about this record? And if not, are you going to make that call?
No. We're cool like that. And anytime she's back, we'll say hi and we'll talk a little bit. But we were really – she's just competitive. She's just as competitive. So I don't think I want to start that. But, she's a great player and we're good friends.
And that is how we start this hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I'm your host, Al Martin. A bit hoarse today, as you can hear. Sounding a bit froggy, if I do say so myself. And it's puzzling to me, though, because I'm not getting sick, knock on wood. My voice was completely fine yesterday. And it's not like I was at the Breslin last night cheering my head off like many of you Spartan fans did watching Tori Jankowska dazzle. I just sat there like a media member should do and enjoyed the show and covered the show. So I don't know why my voice is leaving me right now. I got some hot coffee right next to me. I don't know if that's the best thing to drink when you have... when your voice is leaving you. I know tea is the right thing to drink, but I just don't like tea. I'm not a tea guy. I'm coffee all day. So bear with me throughout this hour as we start today's Current Sports by chatting about that remarkable performance from Tori Jankowska. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You know, as I sat back covering that game last night, and, of course, it was a different game, not only because Michigan State was playing the number 11 college basketball team in the nation in the Ohio State Buckeyes, which does feature another household name when concerning that program in Kelsey Mitchell, not just because these are two Big Ten powerhouses going at it, but, again, because Tori Jankowska had a chance to make history last night. She did that and then some. The storyline coming into that game was that Tori Jankowska needed just 7 points away from setting the all-time scoring record in program history for Michigan State women's basketball. And as that game began, you know, I just wanted to see how the atmosphere was going to be surrounding Jankowska. She was, I believe, the last name called in the starting lineup when the announcements were made, and the Breslin just flipped its wig. Everybody went crazy for her. She cracked a smile, and then it was game time. You immediately saw that smile transform into the eye of the Tiger. And that's why I love watching and why I've loved covering Tori up until now, her senior season, because she's so competitive. So competitive. I have flashbacks to when I used to play the game of basketball, and when I still do, I'm so competitive. And Tori is a workhorse who loves to win. And I've told this story to our listeners out there multiple times. I got the opportunity, actually, man, I believe this was last year during the summer. I had a good friend of mine by the name of Tay, who is from Lansing. He was in town. He grew up playing the game of basketball, and, you know, we were looking for a good run. So that prior semester, that spring semester, we had an individual by the name of Darren Weiss, who was one of our current sports PAs, who helped out here and there on the show. And Darren was such a busy student because not only was he a student, but he was a member of the Michigan State women's basketball scout team. So, you know, Darren can ball. He's a really good basketball player. So you have to be to make the scout team. So Darren hit me up one day. He knows I play pickup basketball. Darren, you know, he hit my cell phone and said, "Hey, Al, we got a run going at the Breslin. Do you and your friend Tay want to come through and get a quick run in for about an hour or two?" I mean, who's turning that down, right? You get to play basketball at the Breslin Center. Are you kidding me? Now, it wasn't on the arena floor. It was in the Michigan State men's and women's basketball practice floor. So, you know, they held open gym there during the summer months sometime. So I'm like, of course I want to come and play, man. Now Darren did not tell me what type of competition there would be at the Brez. But I assumed it would be a pretty good run because I know Darren is a pretty good basketball player. And we're talking about the Breslin. There may be a few players that used to be a part of the program. There may be some assistant coaches there. Who knows? So we show up, right? And we walk out on the court. And the first person that I see, that I noticed at least, was Tori Jankowska. She's a gym rat. She lives in the gym. It was Tori Jankowska who was there. Jasmine Hines was also in there working on her game. You had Lexi Gussert, who was in there shooting free throws at the time. And I'm sitting there saying, okay, all right, well, this is going to be fun. I get to test my game against Division I basketball talent, no matter what the gender. I mean, these girls can ball, flat out, all right? And I've seen Tori, and you saw her last night. She can ball. So, I love a challenge. So I took this as a personal challenge to go out there and try and measure my game, use this game as a measuring stick, and sort of relive some of my high school glory days on the hardwood, right? I quickly found out that this was another level. I had a good game. You know, we played three games, scored, and I still remember the stats to this day because, you know, it's like, all right, when you play against competition like that, you're keeping your own stats because you want to see just how you measure up. First game, I had 6 of our 15. Second game, 5 of the 15. Third game, 7 of the 15. And I had, in grand total, when matching up against Tori Jankowska, which she is a load to guard, I had a grand total of 2 made buckets against her, all right? So it was fun. And what I immediately noticed, I was curious to sort of put my hand on the pulse of how competitive these women would be in a pickup game. Tori Jankowska plays pickup basketball just like she plays a regular matchup against number 11 Ohio State. She is just as competitive, just as fiery. We actually beat her team during the second game, and I remember, you know, after a game, everybody goes to the water fountains to get a drink of water before the next matchup tips off. I remember going to Tori. I'm like, man, good game, Tori. After we beat her, she's like, nah, we shouldn't have lost that. And she's ticked off. She's staring at the ground, ticked off at herself as she goes to the water fountain. She's like, nah, we shouldn't have lost that. So she's just competitive. I love that. I love that about Tori. So last night you guys had a first-hand glimpse of everything on one table. What Tori brings to the table when she is out there on the hardwood. She got the record out very early in that game when talking about, again, needing 7 points to break MSU's all-time scoring record. She got that out the bag very early, had 2 3-pointers and a layup. And after that, I started to really evaluate Tori's game, and I looked up and saw that she had, look at my voice going as I speak here, Isaac, but I looked up and saw that she had Michigan State's 8 of the first 11 points for Michigan State. And I'm sitting there saying, okay, she's off to a roll. She's really got it going right now. And then all of a sudden, as the first quarter moves along, I should say, you know, she starts to score a layup, then nails down another 3-pointer, then another jumper. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, okay, this is more than just her breaking Ariel Powers' record. I mean, she's on pace right now to do something really, really special. Well, not only did she break the all-time scoring record, she also had 3 other records that she can attest to her name that night as well. She broke the single game scoring record with 42 points. She broke the first quarter scoring record. And she broke the first half scoring record. All in one night. I mean, it blows my mind, Isaac, when looking at what she was able to do. Take over. I'm losing my voice. Take over.
Oh. No, I mean, really, 31 points and a half. Those are Rachel Banham numbers. I'd go that far. And I didn't get the chance to watch the game in person, but I did check out a few of the highlights online. And oh my gosh, Tori Jankowska, when she gets her shot going, then everything else falls too. Because that's the thing with shooters, and that's what separates these players who you say, okay, they can shoot, they're bench warmers, they come in, and they're situational from the true stars. When the stars have their shot working, everything else coalesces around their game. And mm-hmm. They start to drive to the basket, get you up with a pump fake, either draw the foul, take one dribble and take the pull-up jumper from mid-range or drive to the basket. And boy, Jankowska, she's got it all. And she didn't necessarily have that earlier in her MSU career. The thing that's changed is she's been thrust into a position of vast importance on this team. And I think you're exactly right. It's that competitive spirit. It's that energy that's allowed her to take that over fearlessly, and so completely as well. She's obviously fine-tuned and owned other elements of the game, such as passing, ball handling, off-ball movement, that prior to maybe her junior season, it wasn't necessarily all in the realm of her capabilities necessarily. So credit to her, and wow, 31 and a half. Couldn't imagine scoring 31 in a game, let alone 31 and a half. Like I said, those are Rachel Banham numbers.
They certainly are. And this is a night that Tori will remember for a long, long time. Just, I'm like, again, bear with me as this hour goes, because my voice is it's leaving me, folks. But, you know, when looking at the numbers here, Tori, she scored her final point on a free throw with 3:34 left, breaking Maxanne Reese's mark of 41 points on January 29th back in 1999. That's against Iowa. Now, with 31 first-half points, she set a new MSU single-game record for most points in a half, bettering the previous mark of 28 by Reese in her record-setting 41-point game. She had 19 in the first quarter, recording the most points scored in the first quarter by any Spartan this season. Mind-blowing, mind-blowing.
Well, what I remember is a game earlier this season in the NBA where Emmanuel Mudiay had something like, I want to say 23 points in the first quarter, something like that. I remember tweeting out, because midway through the fourth quarter, I tweeted out, I'm not sure what's more astounding that Emmanuel Mudiay had 23 points in a quarter, or that he's got 29 right now, 3 quarters later. The thing is, it's hard to keep that up. It is. And there's something to be said for volume shooters just in having the stamina and not being fatigued at that point in the game to still be consistent. So, yeah, the first quarter was amazing. But at the same time, going from 19 forward, you've got plenty to do to capitalize on that within 12 in the second quarter. I mean, Tori Jankowska, she just had it working all night long. And that's what was amazing. Like I said, she did it in a variety of ways, too, because you don't have 41 if you go, 13 of 13 from threes with another two. That's not how you score 41. It's got to be with such a multitude of scoring options, and you have to be so versatile.
I want to play a bite right now, Isaac, from Tori Jankowska and head coach Susie Merchant, because Susie, and I asked her what a performance does, a performance like that does for the rest of the team. How does that inspire a few? I'm trying hard here, Isaac. Let's play the bite. Just play the bite. Play the bite.
No, to be honest, I don't know. I was trying not to think about it, trying to stay focused and not get too wild before the game. And as soon as the first one went in, it was kind of a sigh of relief. And then you get an easy layup, and then the game just kind of kept coming to me. And
did you want that record out of the way, the first record?
Yeah, I mean, it's been kind of the topic of conversation lately, and Coach Merchant felt the same way. She's like, I just wanted to get that out of the way first quarter so we could actually play, and it was important for us, and, you know, it was nice to get it out of the way for sure.
Did you know the second record? Did you know the 41?
Yeah, I did. Only because Ariel was close last year, and she had 40, and I was at the free throw line. I didn't know if that second one was going in, but, you know, that's not really what I was paying attention to. But, you know, once you get close and you look up a few times and you see it, it gets exciting. But, like I said, the most important thing was that we got the win. Yeah, I think it's a big confidence booster. And if we play like this against all the teams, you know, there's no telling what's going to happen. And I think we can really contend for a Big Ten championship. We got Maryland on our home court, Indiana on our home court. And for the young kids, I think it's a big confidence booster because, you know, me, Brandy, there's only a few of us that really played against Ohio State last year. So they knew we could beat them, but going forward, I think it's going to be important for us.
Susie, what kind of trickle-down effect does a Tori Jankowska have on our teammates? Who have you seen the most inspired by what she's been able to do?
Probably a lot of them, but she's probably had the most impact on Taryn. You know, I think, you know, that's a heck of a wingman, you know, if you're a freshman point guard playing at this level. I mean, I felt bad Taryn was in foul trouble, you know, and she took, you know, a couple hits there that had her sit, but she still had 7.7 assists and one turnover in 15 minutes as a freshman. But I would tell you that Tori's most impact on this team and this program right now probably would be Taryn. You know, Taryn, she can get into Taryn and Taryn can handle that. She can encourage her. She, you know, talks to her in a way that they have a really strong connection, and Taryn has great respect for her. So I would say Taryn's development and Taryn's ability to, you know, be a solid point guard for us and run our team is a direct result of Tori and her investment in Taryn.
And, you know, Taryn McCutchen and Tori Jankowska have a very cool relationship because they first off both play the point guard position, and you can see Tori mentoring Taryn multiple times throughout the course of a game. So, you know, that's something that really stood out to me. And also, just the overall performance from this team, other than just Tori Jankowska, Michigan State was able to beat the number 11 team in the entire nation in Ohio State. And you know who is the ball player for Ohio State that everybody talks about, that being Kelsey Mitchell. 13 points from Mitchell, the Big Ten's leading scorer, 13 points. Her lowest point total of the season. That's defense. Great defense from Michigan State last night. Brandy Agee also had a big game, 16 points for her. Victoria Gaines, 11 points, 5 rebounds. So before you hit this first break, Isaac, I also would be remiss if I did not talk about this team getting a win like that.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, because this is the loss aspect. She didn't do this against some random Michigan college that's a scrimmage or something like that. This is the number 11 women's team in the nation that they just beat. This is a big win for the program going forward. Like Tori said, in terms of the conference schedule, just heats up from here. So to have this on the front foot, to be able to have something to catapult off of going forward into this season, this was enormous for MSU women's basketball.
I totally agree with you. All right, before we hit this first break, well, let's hit the first break now because I sound like a villain from a Marvel movie right now, all right? When we come back, we will talk with Mike Ingram, head coach of Lansing Community College's men's basketball team. He's going to be a Hall of Famer very soon. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your very host, Al Martin. Right now, you know, Isaac, it'll be impossible for me to conduct this interview right now. So I'm going to throw it to you because we've got a very special guest who is going to be a soon-to-be Hall of Famer. I'll be listening right now, but I want you to conduct it at least. Mike Ingram, head coach of the Lansing Community College men's basketball team. Isaac, take it away.
No, I mean, LCC, obviously, a perennial powerhouse year after year in the division. And it's going to be great. But Ingram, the big honor is, of course, he was just named to the Hall of Fame. So Ingram, over his career, has amassed a 565-224 record in nearly three decades at LCC, leading the Stars to 19 conference championships, including a national title as an assistant coach in 1988. Ingram, a native of Jackson, has been named Region 12 Coach of the Year three times in 91, 2006, and 2015, and Western Conference Coach of the Year 19 times. Ingram's also coached eight NGCAA All-Americans during his time in Lansing. He played the first 2 years of his collegiate career at LCC, earning a second team All-American honors before moving on to Mount Pleasant, where he played his final two seasons for the Chippewas and the National Junior College Athletic Association 2017 Hall of Fame inductee. Mike Ingram, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing well. So, first of all, we've got to ask you, how did you get the call? What was your reaction after that?
I actually got it a couple weeks ago, and I was out coming back from a basketball game, and guy calls me that I know and talked to me for about 10, 12 minutes, and just a random call, and I'm like, why is this guy calling me? And then he dropped that bombshell on me that I got elected to the NJCC Hall of Fame. So I was stunned, no doubt about it, stunned and a little speechless, but just very happy that the committee, you know, found a way and thought that I deserved it.
What's been the reaction, of those around you? I'm sure we're not the only one that you've gotten a call from recently.
Oh, man. I've been hearing from a lot of people. I've been hearing from all my former players. I've been hearing from all my former assistant coaches. Hearing from a lot of faculty members here, a lot of administration, a lot of family, a lot of friends, and just a lot of people have been hitting me up and congratulating me, and I've been really thankful for the acknowledgement from them.
Sorry, Mike, I think we lost you.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm having a pregame meal with my guys, and so we're getting ready to go for a game, so I'm kind of in our lounging area and stuff. But like I said, a lot of people have been hitting me up. All my former coaches, all my former players, and my former players have been great because they've been saying all the things that, you know, I've done for them and how they still use some of the things I said. You know, I've had one guy call me and says he still remembers me hollering at him for smiling, and he wasn't smiling, but he still thinks it's a great story.
That's great. Were there any moments that you thought of once you found out that you had been inducted into the NJCAA Hall of Fame?
Say that again?
Were there any moments during your coaching career, the 27 years, that you thought of, any specific things that you thought might have helped you get to that point once you got the call?
You know what? I thought about my assistant coaches that have helped me. I thought about my first coach, Ray Kimball. We had played together, and how when I got the job, how I brought him in, and I thought that Ray was a great coach, and I thought I was a great motivator, and I said, hey, I'm going to have you come in, and you're going to teach me how to coach, and I'm going to teach you how to motivate. And I think that it's worked out really well for both of us, because I think I've always been a great leader. I thought that that was my strength when I was a young coach, and I just wanted to make sure that I had a great coaching staff around me when I first started. And I had Paul Stoll, and me and Paul coached together with Ireland and the championship team. So, you know, I had the right guys around me, and since then I've had great assistants that, you know, Kerry Harris has been with me almost the whole time that, you know, I've been here. So, you know, I've had some guys that have really done a great job. You know, a lot of people don't know Steve Spinnamore, coached with me a couple mm-hmm. times. So I've always surrounded myself with great basketball minds.
Naturally, I'm sure that a few offers and suitors have come in from other places. Now your success is, of course, very well documented. We're speaking with Mike Ingram, recent inductee to the National Junior Colleges Athletic Association 2017 class for the Hall of Fame. Did you ever consider going anywhere else? And what's kept you at LCC for these 27 years?
Well, you know what? A lot of coaches say I got the greatest job, you know, in basketball, you know, as far as coaching. And, this job has enabled me to see almost every event that, my kids have been in. They've grown up here. As a matter of fact, a couple of them are working here now. Lane's an associate dean. My youngest daughter, Jocelyn's, working here. So, you know, it's been the greatest job I've ever had. I still enjoy the teaching and the coaching just as much as I did the very first day I walked in here. I don't know. I know I might be one of the few that can say that, but, you know, this is a great job for me, and I still like it. I still do. I still love it. I just, it's really hard to move on from here. We've had some great coaches in our region. Steve Smith won four. He won four national championships. We got a couple guys, Dick Shilton, won 600 or 700 games. We had a guy, Owens Tech, that won 3 national championships. None of those guys really got any offers. So it's really tough to move on. But if you find yourself in a great situation, and I think all those guys that I mentioned have been at this school more than 25, 26 years, if you have a good situation, why move?
Great point. And I guess another point of that is, not only Lansing Community College, but the entire region, mid-Michigan, Lansing as a city. Have you seen basketball grow in the region over your tenure, and do you think you've had a good contribution to that growth?
You know what, I think that's another reason why we've always been successful is that I think the Lansing area has great basketball coaches, high school coaches. They've always had great basketball coaches, and they always seem to have one or two good individuals on their teams. And so when you bring them all together and then you add more, you go from a 32-minute game to a 40-minute game, you go to the shot clock, the game is faster. I think that it's really worked really well for us as a program to be able to have, like I said, great coach. You got Michigan State out there. I mean, you know, it just gives us I think a better opportunity to recruit players and have good players come in because of the coaches they've had, and then also being able to watch Michigan State play also.
Speaking of Michigan State, of course, another Hall of Fame coach in the area recently inducted, Tom Izzo of the MSU Spartans men's basketball team. Has he reached out to you since the ceremony or since the call, and what's the relationship that you have had with him over your long time here?
No, I am not heard of him, but I have a tremendous relationship with Tom and his staff. I always have. He had great respect for those guys over there. I think that whenever I've needed them for anything, I think about 5 or 6 years ago, I was doing a camp down in my hometown of Jackson and asked Tom to come down, and, you know, he came down for me. So, I mean, just really happy for him. You know, also just like, you know, the guy's really busy right now. I mean, you know, he's got to get his team together, but I'll run into him somewhere. I'll run into him at a game or something, and he'll say something to me about it. But I hear from DJ all the time, and so I think he may have hit me up and said something. So, you know, my relationship is solid there.
Definitely. Going back to LCC, you're actually the first player or coach from there to be or to receive the honor that you have. What does this mean for the school and the program going forward?
I think it's incredible. And when you think about it, I think that we've got several coaches on our staff that are in the Lansing Hall of Fame. And so now with me getting this, it just means now we just got another coach that's in a Hall of Fame. So I did not know that until the updates. Sometimes you think that guys would be there. I think that Art Frank is definitely worthy of being in there for what he's done here at LCC, the winning the national championship. So I think that in the future you might see a couple other guys from LCC go into the NJCAA Hall of Fame.
Now with that track record of success, does the program sell itself in many ways when you're looking for new guys to come and play with you or coach with you or just recruiting players to the program in general?
You know what? A lot of guys don't know that they're coming to LCC. I know before they know a lot of times. Not everybody has the dream of playing at a bigger school, and sometimes it takes a while for them to realize that LCC is a college. As a matter of fact, we're the top college, you know, in the state, one of the top colleges in the country in many sports. You know, we won as junior college a national championship across country in the last couple of years in women's. Our softball team went to the nationals last year. Our volleyball team won the conference championship not this past season, the season before. So, you know, we there's a lot of opportunities for student athletes to come here and play and have success. You know, this what happens is once that one dream is gone, and what I try to do, I just try to tell players that I'm talking to that, you know, hey, I want you to check out everything. I want you to see if there's anything out there. And if not, give me a shot. You'll come here. We're going to play the championships. You're going to get seen, and maybe you'll be able to move on.
We're currently talking with Mike Ingram, head coach of the Lansing Community College men's basketball team and recent inductee into the National Junior College Athletic Association 2017 Hall of Fame. Mike, just a couple more questions for you. But, you know, with all this success, is it easy to get swept up in it and in some ways lose sight of the season at hand and what's going forward in the present?
You know, this is what I like to say about that. You know, I've been really fortunate. You know, I'm just a guy that likes basketball. You know, I've always liked it. I liked it when I was young. I was very fortunate to come here and play a couple years, and then after a couple years, come back here as a assistant coach, and now, you know, I'm the head coach. So it's exciting. I'm happy about it. But like I said, I wouldn't be here without the players that, you know, had played before me or with me. I wouldn't be here without Art Frank. I wouldn't be here without the support that we have from our administration. So, and then also with my family. I mean, you know, my wife, my dad, my kids, they love basketball. They love LCC's program. This is a big program for my family. I mean, they walk around in their LCC gear. I mean, even when my son Justin was playing at Toledo and overseas, and LA when she was playing, when they come home, and Johnson, when they come home, they always wanted to make sure that they had LCC sweatsuits. They wanted to make sure that they had LCC shirts. And if we lose a game, if things are going bad, you could almost bank on almost everybody being at my practice the next day. And it's not like they come together. It's like all of a sudden you look up and they'll be coming in different doors and stuff. Because our program means a lot to them, and they like to come in and show the players that, you know, hey, this is a family program. And so I just really appreciate all the things that go together to make this a great program.
This is Al Martin. Can you hear me, Mike?
Yes, Yeah, Al, your voice is killing me.
I'm telling you, when you were talking,
I was going to be like, please don't let it be Al interviewing me.
Right, exactly. Hey, well, that's why Isaac is holding it down for me. But before we let you go, I want to say congratulations. I'm so mad right now that I couldn't conduct this interview, but I want to tell you congratulations, my man, and keep it up. And I just want to know real quick, who has had the biggest influence on your career?
I would have to say Art Frank. I came here as a older guy. I might have been 21 to 22 years old, and he found a place for me on his team and helped me out. Helped me mold myself into a struggling young man, into a man, and helped me get a scholarship. And then when I got through, brought me back in. He was a great coach. He was a great friend, a great mentor, and he's still all those things to me, right now. And so I've always appreciated Art for what he's done. He's been a leader in a whole lot of things. He's shown me what a coach is. He's also shown me, how to raise a family. He showed me how to be friends to people. So, he's had a great impact, on what's happening with me in my life.
Definitely. That's all we've got for you, actually, Mike. And, hey, once again, from Al and myself, Isaac Constance, I just want to say congratulations on behalf of all of WKAR. We know that the Lansing area is very proud of you right now, and it was a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Al, man. I really appreciate you getting in touch with me and bringing me out. I really do. Thanks, you guys.
You got it, Mike. You got it.
All right. That was Mike Ingram, head coach of the LCC men's basketball program.
Isaac, I think I sound like Tom Izzo right now.
Now you've got an insight. All right. Now you've got an insight.
Tom Izzo always has a moment during the year where his voice completely goes, and I think I sound pretty close to him right now. So we got, a little more than 10 minutes left. I think we want to open up our phone lines right now. Let's give away these tickets. Michigan State, Minnesota, tonight at 7 o'clock. We're going to go with caller number one. The first one to call in will win those tickets. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our final break of the show. When we come back, I'll try to labor through these final 10 minutes. Isaac will be doing most of the talking, I assure you that. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. My name's Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin. Yeah, it's kind of a debacle here. Al lost his voice pre-planned, or not planned whatsoever. It's crazy, because I'm not sure if you guys actually heard this segment earlier on, but Al was interviewing the star of last night, Tori Johnkoska, who scored 41 points for the Michigan State women's basketball team, 31 in the first half, and she was outstanding all last night, but Al sounded totally normal. And boy, a ghost just came up this morning and stole his voice or something like that. Nobody knows. But anyway, so we've got a few more things left for the show today, and we're going to try to make it through as best as possible. Big news coming out of the Michigan football camp right now. Actually, Jabril Peppers is going to the NFL officially after his mom interviewed several different scouts and stuff like that. And, Jabril Peppers is one of the players who won the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year award, and he was outstanding all this season for Michigan. So it's really going to be an interesting situation. See where he goes in the draft. I personally think his ceiling is somewhere along the lines of a Tyrann Mathieu safety for the Arizona Cardinals. And I think Jabril Peppers will be fine in the NBA, but or NFL, excuse me, but there's a lot to see what will unfold. Right now, we've actually got another guest on the line, unplanned, but I want to make sure I'm saying the Jim name right, but Jim Comperoni for Sparn Mac. Jim, how are you doing today?
Hey, great to be on your show. I heard that Al was struggling along a little bit. I know how that is because my voice is like that pretty much every day of the week, but my voice is working today, and I figured I'd call in and see if you guys wanted to talk a little sports and push it along. But I just want to take this opportunity also to say that Al Martin is doing a great job in that post. And when I've flipped it over to the show, every time I'm informed, I'm entertained, it's good, it's engaging. I think he's doing a great job. I love the way he opens the show with the news bullets that kind of come at the very beginning. Helps you figure out whether you're a big fan or a casual fan. You get everything that happened the night before with a little bit of some observation thrown in there. And it's just a great listen. Al's doing a great job. I wanted to help him out today because his voice is struggling along a little bit.
Well, he's giving me the thumbs up right behind the glass right now. I know he appreciates it, Jim. But anyway, I know you're big into the recruiting scene around. Has Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the MSU football team, and any of the assistants taken to the trail already?
Yeah, they're getting back out there again. You know, it was a dead period for a long time there during the holidays and the national coaching convention. Traditionally, that's a time for them to get off the road. Now they're getting back on it again. And this weekend is the resumption of the official visits that take place. And Michigan State right now sitting at 17 commitments. Michigan State, you know, recruiting-wise, ranking team-wise, Michigan State is number 5 in the Big Ten in terms of average star ranking, which is kind of like average stars per recruit. That's number 27 in the country. Number 1 in the country is Ohio State. Number 2 is Alabama. This is average star ranking per player. Michigan, number 9. Penn State, 11. Nebraska, 22. Michigan State, 27th. Now, those are just recruiting rankings. They are not absolutes. I like to think of them as a guideline as to who is winning recruiting battles for the so-called top-ranked recruits. Now, we all know that there's plenty of recruits that do well that are not ranked high and many that are ranked high that fail. So it's less accurate than a weather forecast, but it's a guideline for people that love college football 365 days a year. So Michigan State's looking to add to their pool of 17 commitments this weekend, and I think they will get some commitments. An interesting name to chart this weekend is a young man by the name of Kobe Cumberlander. He's a defensive end from Georgia, 6'2", 230. You know, I watch a lot of the film of these guys, and some guys I don't have an opinion of, and some guys I'm like, well, that guy might be overrated. Sometimes I think a guy's underrated, and I think this guy's underrated. You know, Virginia Tech's in on him, Iowa State's in on him. But here's the interesting catch, is that he is the nephew of former Spartan great basketball player Kevin Willis. And Willis has spent a lot of time in the Atlanta, Georgia area, of course. And this guy is Cumberlander is a guy that, you know, Michigan State scouted, and you hear he's visiting. That turned on his film. And I think Al would feel the same way. It's like, man, that guy can really go as a defensive end. Low, a lot of strength in his lower body. And it also comes from Roswell, Georgia, which is a program that produces 5 or 6 major conference guys a year. So if you get this guy, it might help you with players in the future also. But just to give you an idea, also coming in this weekend is Robert Porche IV. And yes, wow. He is the son of Detroit Lions, former Detroit Lions great Robert Porche. And he had been committed to Nebraska for a long time. Porche's a defensive end, 6'3", 250. He'd been committed to Nebraska for a long time, but decommitted because he wants to be closer to family. So Georgia Tech's in there. He's got a lot of family in the South, and Virginia Tech's in there. But, you know, Michigan State's in there, too, because his father still resides in Michigan, of course, in a successful restaurateur in the Detroit area. And Robert IV says that he comes to Michigan about 3 times a year. So Michigan State is kind of in there a little bit with a shot at him. Now, Porche, I like. I'll give you an example. Nothing against Porche. He's a 4-star, but I think he needs to improve his conditioning and things like that. Cumberlander's a 3-star. This is one situation where I think the 3-star is better than the 4-star, but you'd love to have that 4-star Porche because he's got a great feeling of potential to improve his body as he moves along. So those are a couple of interesting defensive ends that Michigan State will be playing host to this weekend.
All right. Well, we've just got 3 minutes left on the show, Jim, but I've got to ask you, do you feel then that the recruiting rankings or the prestige of this incoming class will decline after the 3-9 season that the Spartans suffered through last year? Or are the Spartans more just going out finding diamonds in the rough like those two guys you previously mentioned?
Yeah, I think that the recruiting did suffer a little bit. I mentioned they've got 17 commitments. 16 of them came before the season.
Wow.
And I think that those 16 are along the lines of what Michigan State had been recruiting in previous years in terms of success and getting key commitments that they were going after. But then after the season happened, I would say that their recruiting pull did suffer, and I think some in-state recruits that they might have signed otherwise got away from them, including Ambry Thomas, the outstanding corner from Detroit. I think if Michigan State would have had their quote-unquote usual 10-win season, I think they would have gotten him, and I think he's the number two player in the state. So I think it was – the good news for Michigan State is the vast majority of the recruits took place based on what's been going on in the past.
Definitely.
And I know you've only got a minute or so left, but, you know, Michigan State went down to the Chicago area, got a four-star offensive lineman, Kevin Jarvis. That was back in the spring and summer when they were still, you know, riding their victory lap a little bit. Matt Dotson, they're going to need tight ends next year. Matt Dotson is a four-star tight end out of Cincinnati, really athletic kid. You know, they got him also. And LaShawn Polino, a defensive end from Fort Lauderdale. You know, they were getting some good ones along the way, but here lately it's been a little more of a struggle, but they've cast the net wider, gone out of the region. Like I said, Porche's in Florida, Cumberlanders in Georgia, running back John Lovett from New Jersey. They've gone out farther, and I think they've got a chance to finish and get a top 25 class.
Definitely. Last question for you, Jim. I just need one number. Where do you think Malik McDowell goes in this year's NFL draft?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I don't know. I don't have a good answer to that. My guess is somewhere between 15 to 20, lower than maybe he was projected. But somebody's going to say, you know, we don't care about what might be perceived as some issues he had as a senior, and go ahead and take him because he's going to test really well.
Gotcha. All right. Thanks so much, Jim Comperoni for Spartan Mag. A huge thank you from both Al Martin and myself, Isaac Constant. That wraps it up for today's show on WKR's Current Sports. And thanks for bearing with us throughout the hour.